My name is Jill Coyle, and welcome to another episode of No One Dies From Divorce, where we talk the nitty, gritty, shitty aspects of divorce and help each other come through this not only surviving, but thriving. I'm a divorce attorney, and I'm interviewing other experts and people just like you who are going through or have been through a divorce, so you can have the latest and greatest information on all things before, during, and after divorce. Let's dive in. Hello, hello. We are so excited here for another episode of No One Dies From Divorce podcast. We're just excited for our guest and what we're going to be talking about today. If you remember, No One Dies From Divorce, we're here really seeking information and advice from some of the leading experts out there to really help you not just through a divorce, because anybody can hold their breath and just get through it, but we're here to really offer advice and things, tools that you really could not only survive, but thrive. And so I'm absolutely honored to have Dr. Sue Kornbluth on my show today. And everybody, I just want you to let you know, I feel like we're kindred spirits a little bit. Like, we are both very, very driven women, and we also really believe in a greater good, and we're always seeking ways of expanding our message to as many people that need it and want to hear it. So I'm so excited you're here. Thank you, friend. Thank you, all the way from Pennsylvania.
Yep, right out of Philadelphia.
Yes.
But I wasn't born and raised in Philadelphia. I'm in the suburbs, but close enough. I'm really excited to be here today, you know, to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. And what an honor for me to be in the docuseries.
Thank you.
This is such an important message that needs to get out to the world in a big way. And kudos to you for doing this.
Thank you. So my little story about Philly, I think you know this. I took my kids back there, you know, a month ago in March for spring break. We did like this big back east history tour and went to Philly. And I am telling you, the American Revolution Museum is just absolutely my favorite. It was so good. But the little story is when we got there and we wanted to go to the Liberty Bell, it was like torrential rain. And everybody was like, oh, it rains, but this is like, it was like raining so bad. And we were standing in line for the Liberty Bell, and it was going to take forever. And we were just getting drenched, even with these umbrellas. And so we were like, we like walked around the building, and we asked a security guard, we're like, can you see the Liberty Bell outside the building? And they were like, yeah, you can. So my kids got to experience the Liberty Bell from looking from the street. And then we went and got like hot chocolate or something. It was so cool.
Next time you come in, I will make sure it doesn't rain, and I will take you on a personal tour.
Yes.
Of the Liberty Bell and all the other sites in Philadelphia.
Thank you. It's a beautiful city. I enjoyed going back there.
Honey, it's the city of brotherly love.
You're right. And it was great. And the food, it was amazing. But I do have to say, so Dr. Sue, is what we're going to call her, because that's what she goes by. And I want to tell people who you are, because it's really important, because what you do is so important. So Dr. Sue is a certified parenting expert, coach, and thought leader with international recognition, specializing in high conflict divorce and parental grandparent alienation situations. Dr. Sue has served as a child abuse and victims' rights expert. The exposure she gained as a lead expert during the Jerry Sandusky trial directly contributed to the growing demand for expert opinion. And that's a story I think we need to be having over cocktails one night. I want to hear that story. I did not know that. That is
awesome. It was a long year.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. But she's gained global recognition and is contracted for speaking engagements around the world. The Women's Distinctive Business Magazine recognized Dr. Sue as one of the country's most distinctive women. And I'm telling you, I've only known her a few weeks, but she is a hustler like me. She believes in herself. She has so much self-worth, And she knows she can do it because she believes in herself. And I just love it. I look up to you, and what you're doing is just amazing, because as everybody knows, I wrote this book, No One Dies from Divorce, and Dr. Sue was amazing enough to read it and give me just some really powerful feedback and support of the book. But then everybody knows I did this docuseries to go along with it, and Dr. Sue participated in that, and I can't wait to show all of you, the world, these episodes, because they are powerful. And Dr. Sue, I have to just tell you, I've seen snippets of most of the episodes now, and you are a force to be reckoned with. You know your stuff. You know what you need to say, and it is so important. So for that, I'm just honored that you're here today, because I want to talk about something that you probably talk about all the time, which is parental alienation and high conflict divorce. So everybody, this is Dr. Sue.
Hey, everybody. Wow, I mean, my ego is, like, really elevated right now.
There's nothing better than actually just, like, it's not that I'm saying things that aren't true. Like, this is you. This is what you've done, and you've earned these titles, you know? I love the fact that you go by Dr. Sue, because, you know, it's like Dr. Phil. He doesn't get the only person that gets to be like, hey, I'm cool, and I can be recognized by Dr. Sue. So one of the things I think's funny is that my husband's a doctor. I think you know that. He's an MD.
Yeah.
And I always look at this and I'm like, you have your PhD and you're called doctor, and I have a Juris Doctorate, but nobody calls me doctor.
Do you want to be called Dr. Jill? I'll call you throughout the interview
I went to a lot of school, and I am earned that Juris Doctorate. But it's just interesting that you can, you know, have a doctorate of history or a doctor of geology, and you're still called a doctor. But a Juris Doctorate doesn't quite rise to the level. Anyways, that's a little tangent for another day, Dr. Sue.
Thank you, my darling.
Oh, my gosh. So let's talk a little bit about this. What makes a high conflict divorce?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
Yeah. And I just went right in there too.
You just went right in. You're diving
No bridge.
Okay? I'm ready. A high conflict divorce is when two people are extremely, extremely adversarial with each other. What do I mean by that? It's like they both have boxing gloves on, and when one throws a punch, the other one throws a punch back. It's back and forth, texting, emailing, phone calls, filing police reports, just going back and forth against each other, and there is no way to communicate in a civil way at all.
Right. I'm a civil litigator, so I'm considered a domestic litigator is kind of what I've been, and I've been kind of, I guess, denoted the bulldog in Utah. So when people come to hire COIL Law, it is because they need somebody on their side. They need an advocate and they need a litigator. And so I see high conflict divorce all the time. Do you feel like in your practice you've kind of seen a pattern of, like, almost a personality type that you would find really fall into these high conflict divorces?
Yeah, you know what? I'm really glad you asked me that. I really do want to comment on that, because I feel as though what is happening in the world right now is that this term narcissist is being thrown around, and it's not being defined correctly. It's being misused. If somebody is just controlling, that doesn't mean they have narcissism, everybody.
Right.
But what I do find, Jill, overall, is that most people that are participating in this back and forth high conflict have personality disorder tendencies.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I'm saying about that is they have a way of acting where they always have to be in control. Things have to be on their terms. They dictate a lot what has to happen. And they feel as though they're always right. There's no room for negotiation. But that does not mean that they have a full-blown narcissistic personality. In fact, only 1% of the country or less is diagnosed as narcissistic personality disorder. And we don't want that misconception out there.
Right. Because I agree, like in a lot of my divorces, they're like, oh, my spouse is a narcissist. And you know, it's exactly right. Like they could have some personality traits that would lead you to that, but it doesn't mean that they're like a narcissist. Because I guess let's talk about that. Like, what is a narcissist? And I also want to preface, like, part of my book, I wrote a whole chapter on this. And the first thing I do is you should recognize the signs, and you can go through and read these questions. And if you're answering, you know, a majority of them, then maybe, yes, they are narcissistic in traits. Randy Krueger was on our docuseries as well, and she kind of put it as, well, that narcissists themselves are not going to walk into your office, Dr. Sue, and say, hey, would you diagnose me, please?
Though I've had a few that's walked into my office, and they really are, but they don't come in and say to you, am I a narcissist?
Right.
There are other people that will say, am I a narcissist? You're not if you're asking it,
yes.
But go on.
Yes, and that's what I'm just, you know, so even though, you know, a lot of times we say, well, a narcissist has to be diagnosed by a proper mental health authority, you know, we can also read my chapter, read these questions, and I mean, really, you can then start shaping your own opinion about whether they have some of these traits. So that's kind of where I wanted to go. So please continue. So you're talking about these traits in high conflict.
I think, look, a full-blown narcissist is someone that has a full-blown ego. They think that they are superior to everyone. They are entitled to everything. They live in a world where they have to be the center of attention. They'll go to any length to try to make themselves feel good and important. That doesn't mean that somebody that is controlling because they've been through trauma. A lot of people that have been through trauma in their life are controlling people because they're so afraid to be hurt again.
Right.
And they want things on their term because they never had a chance to use their own voice. That doesn't mean they have a personality disorder.
Right.
It means that they have developed these characteristics out of trauma that has happened to them. And so the bottom line is, everybody, it doesn't matter if they're a narcissist, borderline, histrionic, whatever you want to call them. Let's deal with what is at hand and the behaviors that they are showing, because there's ways to tackle that and decrease it.
Right. And I mean, so when you kind of, you have to kind of recognize the signs, understand, but I guess I want to get right to the point real fast, is I want people to hear me when I say this, that there are tools and things that you can do to help and to not be fully overwhelmed or consumed by these people. And so I just want to throw that out there, and we're going to talk about some of those keys, because I want you to know, like, if you're listening to this, as my friend yesterday was writing me on Facebook and she was telling me about this, and she just feels hopeless. And so I was like, okay, I got all these keys and tools that I can help you. And at the end of our conversation, she was like, I didn't really think of it that way. And so that's what we're going to talk about. I want to give you hope. I want to give you those tools and keys. And Dr. Sue has been working her whole life on creating this, you know, and helping you recognize that there is life after divorce. There is an ability to thrive even when you have kids with these very, very high contentious people. So Dr. Sue, so tell me, when we're going through these divorces and they're clearly high conflict and they have some of these traits, what would be some of the biggest key, I guess, things that you would want to make sure somebody knew and what they should do about it?
It's another great question, and something that I do every single day in teaching people. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
Number one.
So
number one, do not engage with somebody that is constantly sending you message upon message all day long. Now, when I say don't engage, I don't mean don't respond. People get confused with that. Okay, you do need to respond to somebody that is coming to you in that capacity over and over again. But what you do is you give a very short response back.
Yep.
You don't respond to any of the crap, that's what I call it, that is in most of these messages that is coming across. And for example, what I mean by that, if somebody is calling you names or somebody is undermining you, you do not respond to that at all. This is what you can respond back. Thank you very much for your message. I will take some time to think about it. Have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, you are taking back control and you're not feeding into what the other person is trying to get from you, which is a chaotic engagement.
And a reaction. That's what they want, because they know if you react, then they still have power over you. And it gives them satisfaction by doing that. I recommend too, if you have somebody that is texting you or emailing you message after message, I mean, just all the time, and it's causing you so much stress to even see the email or to see the text message, then I recommend you choose one day a week when you look at those messages. So you silence them on your phone, you don't have the alerts on your emails, and you say, okay, Thursday at 3 is when I'm going to read his messages and I will deal with it. That way, you know, you don't have to think about it the rest of the week. You don't have to allow it to kind of eat at you, but it gives you kind of that. So that's something I suggest, and I think it takes away power from them.
I think it's important. I think one thing you're teaching people to do there too is be in control of their own feelings, thoughts, and emotions when they want to respond. Look, you do not have to respond to somebody like that immediately. You need to pull back and not come from an impulsive place, because when you come from an impulsive place, you're engaging in the back and forth chaos, and that feeds the narcissist's ego. That's what they want from you. They want that battle. But Jill, you know, my top tip is always, if you can learn to be in complete control of your emotions when dealing with this person, that you are in a win-win every time.
Yes.
If you do not engage in the back and forth in a way that draws up more conflict, then you win.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, but it's so difficult to be in control of your emotions all the time when you have someone that is coming at you daily.
Right.
So but if you don't give them that feed, it will go away eventually.
Yeah, because they'll get bored. And if they can't get a reaction from you, they'll go somewhere else to get that reaction. So what would be some tips to you with somebody that, you know, because a divorce is hard and it's emotional, and, you know, especially if you're like, you've never worked and all of a sudden you're losing your financial source, or, you know, you've never been more than 3 days away from your kids and now you're going to have to share. So it's emotional. So what tips would you give to these parents that are dealing with these spouses to get emotionally sound?
Yeah, well, you know, we do a lot of work in that area. We believe that you need to reconnect with yourself first after a divorce, especially a high conflict divorce, before you can really be present for your children. And when you don't do that, we see the repercussions of that. And that is often a split between you and your child, unfortunately.
Right.
So what I believe is most important is working on yourself first. Giving yourself and learning to self-soothe yourself. Give yourself self-compassion first for what has gone on during and even before you got the divorce. I mean, in the marriage, you weren't happy for a long time either. And what happens is this starts building and building and building until you become explosive. You lose who you currently were and you become a person that you do not recognize. Anymore, but you can become strong out of that. But it starts with going within yourself and doing that self-repair work. And that is what we do in our practice. We help someone going through divorce first to do that self-repair work, where they can learn to give to themselves again and self-soothe and recognize why they're so angry and learn to control their impulses and practice forgiveness.
Right.
That is crucial in moving forward. Even if you have somebody that's coming at you, you need to forgive yourself and forgive that person as well.
Right.
For what has happened here.
Yeah. And so, I mean, your practice, I mean, I was going to say therapy is obviously very, very important in being able to regain that and help you move through the emotional issues and become emotionally sound. I would love to hear from you. Like, what is your practice? Like, what does it do? And then if somebody was saying, I need somebody like Dr. Sue, but I need them in Utah, how do I find somebody like Dr. Sue? Could you kind of...
So you can have Dr. Sue in you in Utah. You can have Dr. Sue in you all amazing. Around the world. People do. And we found how important this is. And there's not a lot of resources out there in practices that are working directly in providing parents and people going through high conflict divorce with the right kind of tools and tips to get through this. That's why I changed my practice. And we are a coaching practice. Okay. Coaching, by the way, has been shown to create better results for people and parents going mm-hmm. through this. Why? Because coaching offers strategies. Coaching offers an action plan. Coaching methods teach you to take actionable steps to change what is going on within yourself and teach you the communication skills you need to create a bridge with your ex so you can parent your children in the way has been proven that strict therapy is not as effective as coaching. And we are all certified parental alienation coaches in my practice. We took a course in California a long time ago, and we are certified, and we can certify people to do this as well.
So do you even bring in on coach other therapists that are wanting to learn this practice and be, you know, more astute to it?
Yeah, so that's something that we're going to start beginning to do this year, and it's going to be called the Compassion Clinic for divorce professionals, and we're going to be teaching divorce professionals in all different fields how to relate to your clients with the utmost compassion so they don't end up in panic, and you can talk to your client and have open conversations about moving ahead. I get calls all the time, Jill, from lawyers, financial planners. What can we do, Dr. Sue, to calm down our clients? And so there are a lot of things that you could do. One thing you could do is meet them where they are in their pain. Right. That's what they're coming with.
Right.
They cannot just snap out of this. This is trauma, Jill, if you are in a high conflict divorce.
Right. And I think that, you know, that goes to, I guess, where I coach a lot about how to find an attorney that deals with this, because I recognized early in my practice, if I was going to be a divorce attorney, I better be empathetic to what they're going through. Yeah. And I needed to get better at my skills of communicating and through their pain so that they would want to listen to me and trust me. And I've really strived in my practice and in my, I guess, self journey to do that. Which is why we built this COIL Law, which we can take so many high conflict cases and clients just refer people to us because they know we're at a different level. So I guess I would throw that out on the lawyer side, that if you're looking for an attorney to help you through a high conflict case, look for that attorney that is absolutely, first of all, wants to do these high conflicts, but has that empathy, has that training, that is going to understand the other side. So this is just an example. I mean, when I'm dealing with a case where it is clear that the other side has narcissistic or borderline tendencies, I tell my clients right away, we will not settle this case on our terms. It will be on their terms. And we literally strategize and negotiate our proposals so that at the end, they will then make a proposal that we can live with. And, you know, right from the beginning.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to say, Jill, this is why I love teaming up with you, because you're one of the only attorneys that I have ever talked to, and I've talked to a lot of them, that get this. Yeah. And they think to themselves going in, oh, Jill, we're going to get everything that we want. No, it will never be settled that way in a high conflict divorce. It must be settled in a way where the other person who's coming at you all the time feels that they are getting some of what they desire.
Right. And these other sides, they come at you with the, a lot of times they'll find these attorneys that will just say yes, because that's what they want. And so you also have to recognize they're going to be overly litigious. They're going to file frivolous motions.
Yes.
So you need an attorney and you need your coach to emotionally get you strong, because this is going to be a fight. And you want to make sure your attorney's not going to back down from the fight, but understands the circumstance. And then you need, I tell everybody, you need to get emotionally prepared for this. Because at the end of the fight, I promise you, we'll end and you'll breathe and you'll be okay and it will be better. But we have to be able to go through that, because you're worthy of that. And unfortunately, so many people, you know, just want to give up.
Absolutely. But Jill, what do you tell them? I'm putting you on the seat for a minute.
I love it.
What do you tell them, Jill, when they say, Jill, I'm not going to swallow my pride. I'm not going to do this. I don't want to concede anything. What do you tell them?
Well, it's kind of funny, because I've been researching a lot of different divorce attorneys around the country. And what I've noticed is I'm rarely going to have a case where I have too grandiose or too high conflict, too narcissistic or borderline personality parties. Unlike Hollywood, which I've actually met a couple psychologists out in Hollywood, where it is very common to have too grandiose, too narcissistic. And so their story is a little bit interesting.
So really, Jill? I've coached celebrities that are in this.
Yes, I want to hear this.
And it's nearly impossible to get them to hear anything beyond, I want this. And I don't blame them in a way, because that is what they're used to getting in Hollywood. Whatever they want,
yes, ma'am,
they get.
Yep.
But not in these kinds of cases.
No.
Plus, they have the money to spend, and they think they can get whatever they want by spending the money. But you can't do that.
Right.
But you're right. Celebrities are very difficult to coach. They're very difficult to get them to listen to what you're having to say, because they can't get out of the mindset of, I want this, and I want it, and I want it now.
Yeah. So I tell my clients right from the beginning that we set the expectations to what they actually are. You know, I built my practice where I don't need your work. I want your work. And there's a difference, because there are attorneys out there that need your work. So they will be that yes man. And they will do whatever they say to make you think that you can get what you want. And they just set up these horrible expectations. And then, you know, and usually those attorneys get fired in the middle. And, you know, and then I'm dealing with having to deal with a new attorney. But, and we don't get, my firm doesn't get fired a lot because of that. But we set expectations quick. We say, listen, this is Utah law. This is what we're going to do. And then the second thing, I mean, it's interesting, because I can't be everywhere. I can't take all the cases that come into my firm, but I have really strived on teaching my attorneys what it means to be an empathetic and a listening attorney. And so we've done empathetic training. We brought in therapists to do empathetic. We read books that make us better people, better humans. We don't read law books. We don't read attorney books, because I have excellent attorneys. But we know that if we're going to do our job correctly and we're going to do it right, that we need to be better people. And so we really strive on that. And so I think that that does. That puts me just a little bit different than most other people. And because we set that expectation and they see that, they trust us and they listen to us.
But honey, I mean, that's what everybody wants in life, right? They want to be heard, validated, acknowledged. We all do. But especially when we're going through something, when somebody is making you feel so horrible on a daily basis and making you second guess yourself and twisting everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to feel that the people that you're surrounded by in your support team to get through this really hears you and listens to you and is there for you. That is really important. And the people that do feel that from you, they are the ones that get through this the best.
Yes. And at the end of the day, I mean, I always say, I'm like, nobody wins in divorce. So if you're coming in here to win, you're at the wrong station, because we're not winning. We're just going to get you through to protect you, your family, and your future. And that's our goal.
Yes.
And to be truth, a lot of the borderline narcissistic or grandiose people don't hire me, because they know and they read my reviews and they see what kind of attorney I am. I'm not going to let somebody push me around. I'm the attorney. I'll tell you what's best. And so, you know, if they don't, they don't like that, then they don't hire me. So I really do feel like when I'm fighting, I really am fighting for the good guy. That's what I say all the time. And, and they deserve that. And it hurts me when I hear stories about people that have been misrepresented because their attorney didn't understand this condition. And you know, a lot of people think high conflict divorce is just going to be because they're selfish, or there's a lot of underlying reasons behind it. But that's the other thing I wanted to kind of talk about. So we're kind of been talking about these personality traits and what could lead to a high conflict. And you made such an important point about needing to get emotionally sound.
Yes.
What do you feel like maybe is the like second best piece of advice that you can give to somebody that's going through this process?
So the second best advice that I can give is don't jump into any decisions quickly.
Yeah.
Because you feel that you have to, or you feel that someone is pressuring you to do something. You will have lawyers pressuring you. You will have family members pressuring you. You will have friends pressuring you and telling you what they think is best for you. They are not the people to always listen to.
Yeah.
Especially the friends and the families. Your lawyer is something different, but you know, it depends on what kind of lawyer you have. Some lawyers in general, Jill, you know, it's litigation. What is the family court about? A conflict.
Right.
So it promotes more conflict. I would say don't rush into anything.
Yeah.
Really look at the scenarios. Look at what calling the police to get your kid back could do to your kid before you call the police.
Right.
Look at these things, because they all have repercussions down the line on your relationship with your children, if you do have children.
Right.
So take a step back. Think about it from your child's perspective, not just your own.
Yeah.
And make conscious decisions, not irrational decisions, because you're in panic.
Right. I was going to say, like, one of the examples is we talked about not giving the other side power. So, you know, being very controlled and getting emotionally sound. And one thing we notice is when you do that, the you know, the person, the high conflict person ends up losing interest in you. But if you have children together, I will guarantee today, and I'm sure Dr. Sue would agree, that they will then start using the children against you, and they will do everything they can to hurt you through the children. And so I guess, Dr. Sue, what advice would you give to these people that are just like dealing with that?
Yeah, so thank you for bringing that up, Jill, because you know that's what the expertise is that I do. Look, I just want to tell everybody right off the bat that this person that is trying to do this to you, this individual loves themselves more than they love their own children.
Right.
And they are more interested in destroying you than being a good parent to their own children. So right then and there, that gives you an idea of who you're dealing with. Second of all, and really hear me now, everybody, you cannot change that human being.
Yes.
You cannot. But what you can do is choose and change the way that you react towards them, so that you are not in a place of panic, fear, and anxiety every single day.
Right.
And that starts with stepping into your own power and making a decision that you are not going to participate in this conflictual war that the other side is trying to elicit you into. If you don't participate in that, you won't have the anxiety as much as you do all the time. It is extremely important that you work with somebody that can teach you the kind of language to decrease how these relationships get out of trouble, get out of hand, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And you can learn deflective language. You can learn how to talk to a personality disordered individual in a way that calms them down. And people don't believe this, Jill, but the real truth of this is that that person on the other side, all they want is to be heard.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That is all. Instead of being told they're wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, don't defend yourself to this person on the other side.
Right.
They're not hearing anything that you're saying. So don't waste your energy on things that will up the ante.
Right.
Put your energy towards things that will decrease the conflict.
Right.
And that's where you can make these parental alienation situations better.
Yes. And another thing I say is that if you are emotionally sound, just like you said, in who you are and your ability to parent your children, they will see it. They will see a whole mom or dad, and they will know they're loved by you. A lot of times in these kind of situations, sometimes we will see these children end up rejecting that parent, rejecting the parent that has majority custody or the non, you know, grandiose bipolar narcissistic person. And the reason they do that is because kids just want to be loved by both parents. And when you have a parent that has a condition like that, you know, they just don't feel loved. So they will do whatever they can to show that person love. And I tell my parents, it's so hard. It is the hardest thing you will have to deal with when a child chooses or reacts that way. But they need to know they're loved by you, and they're only rejecting you because they know you will never reject them. Have comfort in that and know that, you know, once they get out of into the real world, out of the grasp of the narc or the borderline or the high conflict parent, they will gravitate back to the primary parent. Because I think I've seen this. I mean, I've seen so many parents have to come and hire me because their 16-year-old is going now to their father who they haven't seen for 8 years, but the father doesn't want to pay child support, you know, and promise that 16-year-old a car, and that 16-year-old's like, yeah, I'm going to do that because I have no rules at dad's house. And I've just seen how heartbreaking it's been for these, you know, these moms or sometimes dads. Mm-hmm. And I look at them and say, this is just a time you have to be mentally ready for when they come back, because they will come back, and you have to have it in your heart to say, okay, I love you no matter what.
Right, no matter what, no matter if you didn't talk to me for years, no matter if you called me names, because you have to recognize at some level that behavior is coming because they have enmeshed themselves with the other parent, like I said before, that wants to destroy you.
Yeah.
So they're using that your child as a weapon to hurt you. And a lot of parents are angry at their children for that. I do understand that. But honestly, it is not their choice. And that's why I ask parents, please put yourself in your child's shoes. Imagine what it is like every day.
Right.
To hear that your other parent isn't good.
Yeah. It's hard. And
but
I guess,
if you keep coming in a consistent way over and over to them, even though they're rejecting you, that is what they hold on to in the end, because they know you did not quit on them.
Right. And that's what kids want. And so I guess that would be my last little advice is hold on. Like, your kids love you. They are struggling with this contentious and unknown, and they just want both parents to love. And there are some parents that are not capable of loving, and so these kids will just do whatever they can to get that, and just hold on, because at least we know that they have that one parent that is capable of love, to show them love.
Yes.
Dr. Sue, you are amazing. I am so grateful you were on my show because this is such an important topic. That's why I spent a whole chapter in my book talking about it. But really, at the end of the day, I know people can get through divorce. I know they can use these really hard times as an ability to look within, like you said, get emotionally sound and flourish. I mean, I say it all the time, like, start dreaming again. This is the time to daydream. And what do I want to be when I grow up? It doesn't matter if you're 40 or 50. Like, you can really set a path of, you know, discovery and really become a better person.
Absolutely. I mean, we strive for that, and all the people that we work with, that this is not the end of your life. Only if you want it to be, it will become that. The people that are able to thrive, Jill, and make the most progress in the worst of the worst high conflict divorces and parental alienation situations are the ones that are willing to change their mindset.
Yes.
To try new things, to work on themselves, to go within, to heal themselves first. Because when you do work on yourself, everything around you changes. And your children, who are not in touch with you, who may not see you, they feel it.
Yes.
They really do. I'll never forget, I had a case, and it was a terrible relationship between a mother and her daughter. And the daughter said to her straight out, "I've been giving you chance after chance to show up differently for me. Mm-hmm. And you haven't done it yet in 6 years. I've been sitting here waiting for you to show up differently. So you did not lose me because of Dad. You lost me because of yourself."
Right.
That hit me harder than anything. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not capable of showing up different for your children and putting yourself before them, your children notice that too. The point of that is, work on yourself.
Yes.
When you're coming from a place where you are the one that also left the family, not because you wanted to, it's because you couldn't survive there either.
Right.
But your children don't see it that way.
Right.
Take responsibility for your role in all of this too. It changes everything.
Yep.
Don't just point the finger at the other party.
Yep. It takes two parties, you know, to get where you are. Always. So,
right?
Yes. Last thought?
No, I mean, I have a million thoughts I could give you.
I love it.
But that's really, I mean, my main thought is, you know, go within, do the work in yourself. It's the only way out of any kind of trauma. And high conflict divorce is that kind of trauma.
Yes, and that's exactly what we need to start talking about, is divorce is not an opportunity to feel shame and to hide away. It is a traumatic event, and people should be able to talk about it freely and ask for help and not feel bad about it. So that's what we're doing. Dr. Sue and I are changing the narrative of divorce. And
we are.
Dr. Sue, you are doing so many amazing things right now. I wanted to just give you a minute so you can tell all our listeners, how do they find you, and what are all the amazing things you're doing right now?
Thank you so much. So you can always find me by Googling Dr. Sue Kornbluth. Or the easiest way to find me is at www.drsueandyou.com. That is drsueandyou.com. I have a radio show that is called We Cure Conflict. We go beyond your divorce, and we teach you the solutions so that you can become the solution to any conflict within your life. That is here in Philadelphia at WWDB 860 AM. You can stream that. That is Thursdays at 3 PM. I also have a TV show that is called The Dr. Sue Show. That is up on Roku. You go to RVN TV and you will find it on Roku.
Oh, perfect. Amazing. And I'm grateful that we ran past, that we can be part of each other's lives. You are a fabulous person. Thank you for all you're doing. And it was just a pleasure to have you on my show. Everybody, go find Dr. Sue, and she can help you if you need it. Again, I'm Jill Coyle. This is our No One Dies from Divorce. podcast, and I just want to end with a little bit of hope that I know through my years of experience that there is hope at the end of divorce. And it's just an absolutely perfect time for you to reevaluate, to find who you are, and then to run with it. And don't forget that there's nothing setting you from behind. This is a clean slate, and so you can do it. So do it. Thanks, Dr. Sue.
That's right. Thank you so much for having me on, Jill. You're doing amazing things, and you have my support all the time and whatever you're doing. And get Jill's book. I mean, I said it was the number one self-help book in divorce this year, but I think it's the number one self-help book I've ever seen on divorce.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
It's practical, it's genuine, it's authentic, and that's what is most helpful to people.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. And with that, see you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed, please subscribe, follow, and share. I'd love to hear your questions and feedback. You can contact me at community@jillcoyle.com. See you next time. I am an attorney, but I am not your attorney. Any advice given on the podcast is general and shall not be construed as legal advice.